So for $250, I got 6 voice controlled computers. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, it's Gadget Week on Terrifying Robot Dog. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next.
Terrifying Robot Dog.
That was a lot of TRD, wasn't it?
It's a lot.
It's what happens when I improvise. It gets messy. We'll send you money back, dear listener.
Yeah. And speaking of mistakes we've made recently, sorry about last week.
Yeah. You know, I should have known because I was traveling all week and it's just my whole normal routine just goes out the window.
My life has been hectic the last couple of weeks too.
Yeah.
Just high school, basically.
Jeez. I'm getting chills vicariously.
Yeah. I don't remember being this busy when I was in high school.
Yeah. I remember being nothing but bored in high school. It was just like so much. I mean, there's like dread. It was a combination of dread and boredom.
Nice.
So this week, got some timely information to talk about gadget-wise. I don't know. I didn't really run this by Kelly, but in preparation for the gadget episode, I, for one, typically go through Kickstarter and Indiegogo and look for things that are either got funded or likely to be funded. And like, boy, wouldn't that be cool? And we've had some, you know, drink printers. We had some interesting things we got from there. And I looked this time and there wasn't a thing.
No, I mean, there's stuff, but there's nothing that really makes me go, oh, wow, that's new and cool. And
yeah,
it's iterations on things we already have, which is fine and good, but there was nothing new and exciting.
Exactly. It's like, okay, oh, wow. Another 3D printer. This one's smaller and faster and cheaper. It's become so, maybe I'm just jaded. It's just like, yeah, obviously there's going to be an awesome new 3D printer. It's not even worth talking about almost.
Right. Like there was a fitness tracker that instead of just fitness tracking, it tracked your level of hydration.
I feel like your body has built-in push notifications for drinking enough water.
Yeah, they're called headaches.
And thirst.
And thirst, yeah.
So fortunately, the big boys and girls have made some announcements that I think are definitely chat-worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the two big ones for me are AirPods from the most recent Apple announcement.
Yes.
And the dramatic price decrease on the Echo Dot from Amazon. So let's start off. I think the Echo Dot is probably the easier one to talk about. And they kind of, the two blur together. So you want to just start with the Echo?
Sure. I'm curious how you see them blurring together.
Yes. Okay. So I'm sure everyone knows that if you've listened to any of our podcasts, that we're big fans of Amazon Alexa.
Oh, yes.
She didn't hear me. I was expecting her to chime in. And I have 2, 3, 4 of them right now.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you had upgraded from the two.
So we've got the two full-sized,
mm-hmm.
and those are best for playing music. And, you know, they're voice activated, of course. And then we have the Tap, which is a portable one that is not voice activated. You have to press a button on it, but then you can talk to it. You basically just don't use the wake word. You just press a button and then it operates exactly the same. The difference is that it's meant to be moved from room to room or perhaps out to the patio or even the beach.
Yeah. I started to say, doesn't it have like some weather resistance and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing, because they have ads showing people with it on the beach and all that, so it's got some water resistance and
yep, and sand and all that. So it's very much at its core, it's really just an amazingly good voice control attached to a Bluetooth speaker. But it still has all the other things. You know, you can add to your shopping list, or you can order things, or you can ask the weather, or math problems, or jokes, or you can have it, you know, cut the cheese for you. All of the things you could do. Really, the big difference is that it's meant to be portable, and you can't just wake it up by talking to it. So Erica mm-hmm. loves it, because it's almost like she can't breathe unless music is playing somewhere. So she carries it around, you know, she'll like take it into the bathroom when she's taking a shower, and, you know, the kids will sort of invade her space where she's knitting with the iPads turned full volume. So she'll grab it and go downstairs or something. And it's like a sort of continuity of experience with the music playback that you don't get with the other ones, because even if you have multiple ones, they don't, there's certain things with the Echo implementation of Alexa that are specific to the device.
Yeah, they don't talk to each other.
They do for some things.
For some stuff.
They do for some stuff. So, like, you can say, I can say to any of them, wake word, and then play my book. And it knows what audiobook I'm on. Sort of centrally in the cloud, it knows what audiobook I'm on, and it'll just start playing it on any of them. But you can't really do that with Pandora's not set up to do it, and that's what we usually listen to.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, Then they released this thing called the Echo Dot, which is kind of like the top inch and a half of the big one.
Yeah, it looks like the part of the big one where the speaker grill stops. They just kind of lopped it off there. And
And so we got two of those, one for the bedroom to turn the lights on and off, which is like the best thing ever when you're in bed and you don't want to reach up to turn the lamp off or whatever. And or, you know, you just like... The other day, I wanted to take a power nap before karate, so I just went in and I like laid down in the bed. And you know that, like, you've got a 10-second window of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fall asleep right now lay here. And I was like, but I only had 15 minutes. So I was like, Amazon set a timer for 15, or, you know, Wake Word set a timer for 10 minutes. And I just like totally crashed for 10 minutes and then it woke me up. So, and you guys use yours. You were just saying that the shopping list feature is a huge one for you.
Yeah, we use the shopping list quite a bit. We didn't until recently, and then I reminded Richard that it was there, and he kind of has fallen in love with it, because we'll always be like, oh, we should get this, and then no one writes it down anywhere, and we forget about it the next time we're at the store.
But that is really great, and I am approaching... Okay, so the point of the whole telling you all this is that they are all very popular. They sell very well. They have 5 stars on Amazon. Amazon is pushing them like crazy. It's the hero... ad on the homepage. I think they're opening 100 pop-up stores in malls all over the place to start selling their hardware.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And the Dot, the little one, which is just as good as the big one with the possible exception of the quality of the sound that they put out, but if you're not listening to music on it, it's fine, and you can plug speakers into it if you really care. It was $80, and I think the full-size one was what, 180?
Yeah, 180, yeah.
So now they dropped the price of the Dot, and there's a new generation. It's slightly smaller. The top of it doesn't twist to change the volume. It's got plus minus volume buttons, which is fine. And you can tell it.
Yeah. I've never touched that twisty part of mine. I always just tell her to increase or decrease the volume.
Yeah. Yeah. And me too. So it's not really a feature I'll miss. You're usually not near it anyway. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. And they dropped the price from 80 to 49, and they're offering it in 6 packs. So,
yeah, and you can get it in black and white now.
Yep, black and white, gloss.
The white one looks nice.
It does look nice. It'd be perfect. It'd be better for the kitchen than a black one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing about the Dot is that you have to have the full-size one to order the little one. You can only order it by voice. So for some reason, Amazon wants you to... It's almost like they want you to experience the Mercedes option.
I think that's changed, because I have an option now to pre-order with one click.
Oh, good to know. Excellent. That's even better.
I understand why they want you to buy the more expensive Amazon Echo, but it doesn't make any sense to limit Dot sales that way.
I think that they were probably, I don't know.
That has just been while they were beta testing.
Maybe. Yeah. They probably just didn't want it. They wanted it to go out to people that knew how to use it already or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, make it a 6-pack, buy 5, get one free. So the other day I did... Yeah, as soon as I saw this, I was like, Wake Word, order me a 6-pack of Dots. And it was like, you know, black or white, the current price is. And I was like, yep. So for $250, I got 6 voice controlled computers. It's crazy.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy. They're great. And most people don't have one, I'm sure. If you're familiar with sort of the voice controls on the iPhone, the Siri stuff and even the voice typing, they stink compared to Alexa. They're horrible. Like, Alexa is way, way better at voice recognition. So much better, in fact, that you're like, oh, this is what the future is going to be like.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah. And so, and the kids just, Cooper has now started doing the thing that I have started doing where you will hear him in the other room telling Alexa to do something in a room that doesn't have one.
There have been many times where I have been out places and I just have to stop myself from going, Alexa, what time is it?
Yeah. Last week in the hotel, I probably said it 5 times.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm like, oh, it's, you just get used to it so fast. It's so good. It doesn't, like, a lot of people ask me, because I talk about it all the time, or they see it, they come over the house, and I'm like, they're like, what is it really good for? And it's almost hard to explain why it's so great. But I have a hilarious video of a guy showing, I think it's 50, it's a YouTube video of a guy demonstrating like 50 things you can do with Alexa in 3 minutes. And it's good and it's really funny and it gives you a feel for what it's capable of, but you just don't, it's like having an assistant, I almost said following you around, because now I've got it in so many rooms that it feels like I can say it anywhere.
Yeah, that it feels like you're being followed.
Hmm.
Yeah, I really want one in our vehicle.
Totally. I ordered the Pebble Core, which I suppose we could talk about today too. But the Pebble Core it's not a Pebble watch, but it's from the same people. And it's sort of like a clip-on fitness tracker, which I don't care about. And frankly, I think it's a little bit too big to be a fitness tracker. It's a little bulky and clunky, but I want it for the car because it's got its own 3G and it has Alexa built in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, so I think that you're going to see, I mean, odds are decent that if you're on my Christmas list, you're going to be getting one of these things. So, folks. but it's hard to describe why it's so great, but there are a lot of, not everything, not even most things, but there are many things that I do or did on my smartphone or computer that were not really a good fit for that interface, that are a perfect fit for voice computing, for conversational computing.
Alexa doesn't do anything that you can't do with something else. It just makes it a lot easier to do several of those things.
Yes, like magically easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's especially wild if you have kids, because, you know, young kids, because they can suddenly do things that, you know, they can control things that they wouldn't normally be able to, and they can get answers to things they wouldn't normally be able to. It's wild.
They can come home every day, every single day from school, and add cookies to the shopping list.
Yeah, you have to be a little careful, but
you do.
But we did do the wake word. Is Santa real? Question, and she answers it appropriately, which is nice. That's always my first test with a new voice computing yeah. interface. So I have been saying for a long time that I think voice computing is going to be a really, really big deal. It's going to be the new touchscreen. Like, the touchscreen, multi-touch, the way implemented by Apple was, you know, for the last 10 years has revolutionized computing. And voice is going to be the next one. It's not going to take over everything, like I said, but it is going to be huge for a significant chunk of computing that we currently do on phones or on laptops or whatever.
Yeah, for a lot of the casual stuff, like ordering things, listening to music, searching for information,
yeah,
checking the weather, checking your calendar, adding stuff to your calendar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. It's like an assistant. And it wouldn't be great if it stunk, but it's amazing. So, you know, if the voice recognition wasn't good.
Yeah, I haven't been to our movie theater's website since I got Alexa.
Because
he just asked her what's playing.
Nice. So, you know, in my actual work, I go around presenting, you know, at conferences. And one of the things that I've been beating the dead horse about for the last probably 3 years is the death of the touchscreen and post GUI computing, conversational computing. And what does that mean for, say, a web developer or designer? What do they do in a future where there are not screens, but dramatically fewer screens? And I think there's a huge opportunity for back-end developers. And there's a huge opportunity for user experience designers, because a conversational interface is wildly different than anything we've done before. And there's just a lot of exploration that needs to be done to get it right.
It's still an interface. It still needs to be designed to work well.
Yeah. And there are just so many open questions, like how does security work? There's just like a lot going on. So it's super fascinating. And in one of those talks, and I don't have the exact date, but I'm pretty sure it was just after Apple announced, segueing into the Apple section here.
Okay.
I think it was in late 2012, Apple announced their new, at the time, newest generation of earbuds. And this was at an iPhone announcement. It was one of those September, you know, back to school iPhone announcements. It was a big iPhone announcement. And they spent 10 or 15 full minutes talking about their stupid earbuds.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember this.
And they named them for the first time, and they named them AirPods. And I was like, oh my God, I don't think they're working on a watch, because there are a lot of watch rumors.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that, I was like, they're going to make the headphones the iPod. Like the somehow they're going to make the earbuds are going to have a chip in them, and you're going to store your music right on them. It's going to have fitness tracking right in them. It's going to have an accelerometer right in them, and they're going to cut the cord, and it's just going to be it. What I pictured at the time was the two earbuds connected by a wire that perhaps had the existing, you know, the clicker volume rocker control and the microphone.
Yeah, we have a couple of pairs of Bluetooth headsets that are just like that.
Mm, yeah, and I've seen some since too that they kind of go around the back of your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like that. And they'll be able to, it'll just connect to your phone over Bluetooth. And you'll be able to, you know, if Siri was better, it would be pretty amazing that you could just, you leave your phone in your pocket or your purse and just talk to your headphones and be able to, you know, basically cut the dangly part that plugged into your phone off. And so. Right. And so Apple totally did that, but they went one step further and completely removed the wires with their new iteration called EarPods. Sorry, AirPods. AirPods.
I have mixed feelings about that. I kind of feel like the wire that connected the two together is a good idea to leave it.
It serves a lot of functions.
It serves a lot of functions. I know Kira has a pair of Bluetooth headphones, earbuds like that, and she you know, there's a magnet in each earbud, and you can hang it around your neck, and the magnet's kind of clicking together, and you're not going to lose them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing with the AirPods, there's a lot of sort of practical reasons why the AirPods seem like a bad idea, you know, and it, mostly the price. So it's like, okay, you're going to be losing these things.
Right.
And they're going to end up in the washing machine for sure.
Yeah, I've seen some hilarious parody ads.
Oh, that's I haven't. I probably would laugh my face off at that. But yeah, you know, you're walking down the street, and I don't have a problem with it, but I've heard from many, many people that the existing ear pods, the regular ones with the wire, fall out of their ears all the time.
Yeah.
And that's not a problem for me, but it is clearly a problem. And if
I have two ears that are vastly, well, not vastly, make me sound like some kind of freak, but my left ear and my right ear are not the same size.
I have that issue with my feet, which is problematic. But my shoes typically don't fall off. And my shoes are typically cheaper than these headphones.
Cheaper than the headphones, yeah, usually. Yeah, but I'll get one earbud that fits fine and then the other that falls out, or one that's painfully small, painfully large, and the other one, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so there are just all these open questions. Like, okay, I've got a $150 pair of headphones. One fell out and went into either the subway tracks or the sewer grate. You know, like, ooh, now what?
Yeah, or just hit the pavement and shattered.
Yeah, so like, what now? But, you know, and that, I suppose that'll get worked out. And they have other alternatives from the Beats line that they acquired that do have, that do the exact same thing. They've got the M1 chip in them, and they've got the accelerometer and all that stuff. And they... I don't know about the accelerometer, but they have the chip, and they have this sort of seamless multi-device connectivity feature, but they're, you know, over the ear headphones, wireless, or they have the around the back of the neck ones. So you can choose, you know, if earpods aren't for you, or air, so I keep saying that, the name is awful.
It is.
if you don't want AirPods, or you know that they don't fit in your ears very well, then you can just get one of these other options, I suppose. But here's the thing, and here's the tie-in between the Echo, is that this conversational interface, there's like a straight line from this iteration of the sort of like stereo Bluetooth almost. It's like these wireless earbuds that are a computer. It's not just this thing that hangs off your phone like an accessory.
Right. It's not just a speaker.
Yep. It's got a several powerful sensors, a speaker, obviously, and the, it's got a proximity sensor, if I'm not mistaken. It can tell whether or not it's in your ears to turn them on or off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's like all the smart stuff. Oh, yeah. All the smart stuff that, beamforming technology between the two of them. So it can focus on the area, the sound emanating from the area of your mouth, assuming your head is reasonably shaped. So, okay. It's pretty easy to imagine that the watch, which also got a big update in this most recent announcement from them, it's pretty easy to imagine a future where you can leave the phone at home and the watch gains cellular connectivity.
You know, if that happened, it would make both the watch and the ear pods infinitely more useful because, yeah, for a lot of stuff, you could just ditch the phone entirely.
Yep. And it's got the watch now has a radio in it where it didn't before. It's GPS, but you know, you could imagine I can't remember if it's my Android watch, one of my Android watches or not, but I think the Apple Watch 2 supports Wi-Fi. With OS 2, it supports Wi-Fi connection. And
Richard's Android watch supports Wi-Fi.
Yeah, my Android stuff definitely does, but I think the latest OS for the Apple Watch does support Wi-Fi. Can't remember for sure, but anyway, and the AirPods connect to the watch no problem. Mm-hmm. So if you've got, I mean, if all of a sudden you said to me, there's going to be an Alexa watch that has cellular built in and wireless headphones with a microphone, I would be in heaven. Mm-hmm. I would be like, yeah, that's what I'm getting. Because the problem with the Apple version is Siri still stinks. Sorry, folks, but Siri is just not that great compared to Google Now or Alexa. It's almost comical. So if it was good, though, then it would be, it's a really, really useful scenario. And that's for me. And I don't even drive that much. For people that drive all the time, it'd be unreal.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes so much sense to, you know, what you were just saying before the show, Kira just dropped her phone and it smashed.
Yeah.
You don't drop your watch.
Yeah, no, you don't. You might drop your EarPod.
That's the thing. The EarPods, I feel like, I mean, $150 or whatever they cost is reasonably priced. It's sort of middle of the range for Bluetooth headphones. Mm-hmm. But these are the only second or third that I've seen that are not connected to each other in any way.
Yeah.
So like I've got the Moto Hint, which was from a form factor standpoint was great. I love it. It goes way inside your ear. So it doesn't look like you're wearing a Bluetooth headset, and it was a Google Now type of thing, but it suffered from some just implementation issues. Like it didn't connect to the, it didn't stay connected to the phone, which is a drag. Mm-hmm. And it didn't, it was not great at picking up your voice. So if it was windy or anything like that, it just didn't work, which was too bad.
Okay. Google on the Moto X was always spotty for me at best.
Mm. It was okay for me with the phone, but between the Bluetooth connectivity problems with the earpiece and the fact that the microphone seemed to really have a hard time distinguishing voice from background noise, it just really didn't work. But it looked really cool and it fit great. I thought it was very clever. I wish it worked a little bit better. And then I finally got the Braggy one, which was a Kickstarter from a while back. And they essentially they're doing the same thing as AirPods basically. So it's two, where the Moto Hint was just one.
Yeah. With the charging case.
They are sort of ugly looking out of your ears. They really look medical, but they fit really like you can adjust the size of them. And once they're in, and they don't stick out of your ear the way the AirPods do. So like,
yeah, I have a friend who has a friend who was at the Apple event a few days ago doing a press thing and got to try the ear pods, mm-hmm. and he said it looked like you're smoking your cigarettes.
Yeah. So now look in the advertising. You will never see a picture from Apple of somebody wearing AirPods where you're viewing them from the front. They always show them from the side, so you can only see one because they look silly from the front.
You'll either never see them from the front, or it'll be some woman with her hair down. And
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just don't show it because it looks dumb. And it's like, you take that wire away, and all of a sudden it looks like really weird.
You got the antenna sticking out of the side of your head.
Yeah, you look like one of those Star Trek androids.
That's what they are.
Right. So, I don't listen to music at all because I'm a musician. So it's like music is way too distracting to me to listen to it.
Right, because you can't just casually listen to it. You have to analyze it all.
Yeah, I can't do it in the background. So I would probably only ever wear one, which you can do with the AirPods, mm-hmm. Which would be good because then I'd always have a backup battery wise. And if I lost one, I mean, I'm going to buy them. I'm going to try it. But, okay. You know, I think the big picture here, though, that I think is really interesting is that the conversational computing is moving. It's just more and more mainstream, and it's just going to keep getting better and better. Like Siri, you know, I was just ragging on Siri, but it'll get better.
It will. Yeah. Yeah. And Google is working on an Alexa competitor, I believe.
They have that Google Assistant, which presumably, see, the thing with the Google Assistant is that it's going, the idea is for it to be embedded inside of everything, the way that web views are kind of embedded inside of everything now. So okay. It's not supposed to be this like standalone thing that is just.
Okay. So it's not really an Alexa competitor. It's not supposed to be a standalone thing. They just happen to be making a device that you can use to access it.
Oh no. If there's a device, I don't know about it.
Oh, I thought there
Oh, you're talking about Google Home. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. That's a direct Echo competitor where it's you're exactly right. It's got the air quotes assistant, which is kind of like the Alexa. Well, so like Google Home is the Echo, it's the device, and mm-hmm. then it is air quotes powered by Google Assistant, which is Alexa, you know, the analogy.
Yeah. Does Google Home, is it supposed to have more? Because I know Alexa has some, at this point they probably have several, but I feel like Google Home maybe also more specifically have home automation in mind.
Thinking back to the demo video, I mean, it's vaporware right now. I don't think it's for sale, but,
I don't know, it just seems like a very Google-like thing. And then with the name, especially.
Yeah. It was clearly all the features that you currently get inside of Google Now will be supported. And then, which is a lot. A lot of good stuff, you know, all your calendar, all your email information, the weather, traffic, directions, you know, oh, get me directions to the movie theater and send them to my phone, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, the creepy directions to the garden center.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't explicitly remember home automation from the video, but I'm sure it was in there. The trick with home automation is that they need to partner with people to make that work where mm-hmm. is all the other stuff they're in control of. So I think the open question with the Google version is whether there will be an equivalent to Alexa Skills for Google, or if Google is just going to like do everything, like control that whole experience. Cause they've got so much built up already, you know, like Amazon didn't have calendar. They didn't have maps. They don't have email. Mm-hmm. So they kind
of
have to.
All of that,
yeah, Google has all that stuff. Oh, the whole productivity suite is there. So they could perhaps, you know, for a certain class of people who are all in on Google, they could perhaps get away with not having, certainly launching without any partner applications being able to be built on the platform.
Yeah, but they're two at the same time. Google's also been pretty good about granting developer access to those platforms.
Absolutely. Yeah. But see, the way I think it's going to play out is that they're going to want Android developers to build the assistant into their apps.
Rather than building apps on top of assistant.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, the idea is you're in a chat, you're in a Google Hangout or something, and you can just pull in the assistant. Like, so, you know, let's say you and I are having like a G chat back and forth, and it's like, oh, you know, where do you want to get dinner? And then you say, you know, you almost invite the assistant into the chat as like a third person and be like, you know, Google, where should we go for dinner? It's like, oh, well, there's a table for two available at 9 at El Forno. Do you want me to book it? Yes. It's been booked.
Right. And again, that stuff lends itself so well to conversational computing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's a chat. That's the chat interface, like a text chat interface. But mm-hmm. it does, their voice recognition is so amazing that that you can see it making the leap into a conversational interface. Like, it's a no-brainer. Oh, right. I forgot. They have Nest. They bought Nest and they bought...
Oh, Google bought Nest?
Yeah. They bought Nest and Nest bought Dropcam. So...
So now you have Google surveillance.
Oh, God. Yep.
They really are indexing everything.
They sure are.
Everything.
All right, folks. So get ready to talk to your robot overlords.
Yep. It'll be all Star Trek.
Yeah, totally. What's left from the original Star Trek universe that we haven't really... Some of the medical stuff, I guess.
Phasers.
Oh, yeah. We still need phasers.
Transporters.
Yep.
Warp drive.
Oh, yeah. Space travel in general. But I just meant like gadgets. Like
Gadget-wise, I think phasers. I think we're probably pretty close on... Well, some of the medical stuff, but I think we're pretty close on the tricorder.
Yeah. I feel like iPad, iPhones, like a phablet. Tricorder's a phablet.
Yeah.
Communicator was like a flip phone because it didn't really do anything.
Yeah. And now we have Uhura's earpiece.
Got Uhura's earpiece. Exactly. It's only slightly smaller.
Yeah.
Now see, like that didn't look that weird to me, but imagine if she was wearing two. That would look stupid.
It would have. Yeah. It would have looked weird.
All right. So let's see. We should probably wrap up.
Yeah.
All right. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review in iTunes. Thanks. Makes this noise. Oh, it's cool. You just common cold.